This is Here and Now. And when you check into a hotel room, what do you need? You need a bed. You need a shower. You might need a TV. But do you need a mini bar? And do you need room service? Hotels are finding these days the answer is no. In fact, the New York Hilton has cut room service altogether. Beth Scott is head of food and beverage for Hilton International. And Beth, first, why did you eliminate room service in New York?
Well, guests weren't ordering, so that's one problem. Typically, it was viewed as expensive. It took too long, and in a market like New York, guests are in a hurry. And so waiting 45 minutes for their food to come up and then, you know, what they viewed as not a value-driven experience was not helping us, right? So what we did was take what they wanted, which was value-driven and quick and easy, and sort of deliver that in a new and interesting way. So what we're doing is giving them what they want, but just in a new way.
And is that something you think that would be New York specific, or is that something that Hilton is looking at across the chain?
Well, we're openly sharing the concept with our ownership groups and our operators. So where it is relevant to a specific market, we'd like to be able to implement the concept in other markets. But we're not rolling this out as a mandatory brand program. It's really about taking a look at what's relevant to a particular market. Airport hotels act very differently than resorts and convention hotels. So what we don't want to do is just roll this out to the mass public and put it in markets where it doesn't really make sense.
So you're saying in an airport hotel or in a convention hotel, I might be much more likely to order room service?
Definitely in a resort. You know, room service has a different meaning for our guests. They're more likely to order a leisurely dinner in their room, for example, if they've come back from a long day at, you know, Disney World or something like that. But airport hotels, convention hotels, where people are on the move quickly.
And on an expense account, probably.
And on an expense account, exactly. Sometimes the mere convenience of having that room service outweighs the value that they perceive.
Well, and it makes me wonder, the fact that you brought up the cost and that people think that it's expensive, if it's not worth it to just drop the cost of room service, would it not be worth it to you to have room service if it costs a lot less?
You know, where that cutoff point as far as value goes, how much more are you willing to pay for that hamburger than getting, you know, out of the hotel and grabbing it down the street, especially in a market like New York
Right.
or other urban markets where there are so many choices within walking distance of the hotel. You know, it's a hard. I mean, we've tried dropping prices in certain cases, and that doesn't really sway the numbers very much. So, you know, I just think we have to be smarter about how we do things.
What about the minibar?
Yeah, those have been less used for a longer period of time. So, I mean, we've eliminated minibar as a standard. And depending on the market, they can either put a refrigerator where guests can put their own stuff in it or minibar if they feel like that makes more sense for their hotel.
What's the most popular thing on room service menus in 2014?
The hamburger, cheeseburger is still going to be number one, no matter what we offer on the room service menu across the industry.
Beth Scott is Vice President of Food and Beverage Strategy at Hilton. Beth, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And for the big picture now, let's bring in Bjorn Hansen, who is Dean of the Tisch Center for Hospitality, Tourism, and Sports Management at NYU. Bjorn, what do you make of what is going on there at Hilton? And does it speak to something that's happening in a broader sense at hotels across the country?
Well, the Hilton decision about room service at the New York Hilton was really bold because the tradition has been at fairly expensive hotels, and especially urban hotels, room service was required. I don't know the numbers for the New York Hilton, but a typical hotel loses order of magnitude between $500 and $1,000 per room per year by offering room service.
So why do they do it?
Well, again, it just is a tradition. And for those guests who want room service, it is a satisfier when it's available and a dissatisfier when it is not. But again, as Beth said, over time, the usage of room service declined. The satisfaction also declined. So why charge people a lot of money for something that was not getting good guest satisfaction scores and also generating a loss? So it was time for a lodging company or a hotel to take a bold move. And the New York Hilton, you know, was the first mover on this.
And Beth also mentioned that if room service is going away in some way, the minibar is even further on that path.
The mini bar has always been a challenge. I worked on about 1,500 hotel financial statements looking for a profitable mini bar operation and never found one. And there were a number of reasons for that. One is that the payroll of sending someone to every room where there's been a consumption of a mini bar item is just a lot of payroll. So although a $5 can of soda sounds expensive, the payroll of sending someone with a cart and inventory and restocking is also very expensive from the hotel point of view. The second is there was what's called inventory loss, which deals with guests who take things and forget to notify the front desk upon checkout, and also just outright theft of items and people denying that they actually consume something. So many hotels that still feel guests are looking for minibar service have moved to a new model, which is free minibar items. So the idea is it's almost like an honor system. Take what you want and you use and nothing else. And it turns out that that costs less.
Wait, explain that. What do you mean it costs less to take what you want?
So the cost of the product was not the expense to the minibar for the hotel. It really was the payroll.
So they might as well just give you a bag of chips and a little tiny bottle of Seagram's rather than have you pay for it.
Well, the Seagram's is not included. It usually is just limited to the food items. But about 1.5% of hotels that used to offer minibar service have now switched to, you know, this kind of an honor bar, complimentary minibar model.
Is that something generational, do you think?
That's part of it. Ordering something you'd buy at any candy counter wasn't really appealing to millennials. The cost value was an issue. And again, even though hotels were losing money on the mini bar, when guests look at a $5 or $7 can of soda or a $7 or $9 candy bar or bag of chips or something, it was offensive to many travelers. Plus, the interesting thing was the millennials were emptying the mini bar to place other items they had brought with them or purchased locally. When Beth mentioned offering a refrigerator as an alternative, that's a much more popular choice, not just for millennials, but other age groups, and especially for families traveling together.
Well, and often those refrigerators have weight sensors in them. So if you take something out to put something else in that you've brought, it might think that you have taken it and they'll charge
right.
you.
Those automatic registers created other problems, and frankly, it was interesting to observe what happened with guests who were dishonest. They still found ways of getting around the sensor. So, for example, if the bottle of Seagram's you mentioned were stored on its side, guests would unscrew the top with a glass underneath. That would empty the bottle, not all of it, but half of it at least, and therefore get it for free. And then the next guest would, you know, try to use it and find it was empty, and who knew who really took the alcohol.
Seems like a lot of work to get a bottle of gin. But Bjorn, let me ask you this. What is still necessary in a hotel room that was 30 years ago?
I mean, really, it all is. Now, one of the reasons, by the way, the telephone hasn't gone away, many people ask why that is. There are two reasons. One is security. There is just a situation where there could be some kind of a health or other emergency, and someone needs to reach the front desk. And that telephone is a way the hotel knows that the guest can reach the front desk easily, not try to find a phone number and call the hotel from a cell phone. The second is it's often used in operations. So, for example, when housekeeping completes the preparation of a room for arriving guests, many hotels have either it's making a phone call or it's some kind of a digital communication that goes through the hotel phone system that alerts the front office that that room is now available to be assigned to a guest.
So they still need that phone?
For the foreseeable future, the phone will be in hotel guest rooms.
Bjorn Hansen is Dean of the Tisch Center for Hospitality, Tourism, and Sports Management at New York University. Bjorn, thanks.
Thank you.
And Robin, it's so interesting to think about all the things that we've had in hotel rooms for decades and decades.
And every single one looks alike.
And right. And do you really still need them? The other thing that's interesting now is they had these iPod docks that they installed in a bunch of hotel rooms. And then Apple changed what you needed to plug the iPod in. And now they're useless.
One thing hotels do have: rooms filled with your phone chargers that you've
That's
left
right.
behind.
They probably have a lot of lost and found. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.